Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. This morning, we're just going to carry on and finish off this little bit here talking about Joshua. But I'm taking it somewhere this morning that I believe the Holy Spirit's really shown me to go in terms of what everyone's experiencing and feeling right now. And it's really bringing it back to praise. Okay? And so, do you have your Bibles with you this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Let me see them. Oh, don't ask. Some of you hold up your mobile phones. That's allowed. It's your e-Bible, your digital Bibles. Praise God. Before I forget, I was watching Pastor Jensen Franklin last night. His wife had him on Instagram the other night. It was the funniest thing, but it was serious at the same time. But he was praying over the people of Free Chapel and over his country. And he said that the President Trump, had declared a national day of prayer in the USA, which I thought was wonderful. And so I really do believe that that God is going to make a special path and a way in our land to be able to reach the lost and achieve more, to grow his kingdom at this time. You know, a lot of things grow in adversity. And that's really how the church has flourished in the Far East. They've grown through persecution and adversity. And whatever, you know, the enemy sends against, whatever threat comes against us, it doesn't matter if it's in the form of a person, a people, or a thing, or a bug or a germ. We grow in adversity when we do what God wants us to do in the middle of that adversity. Amen. So I believe that, you know, let's step up our personal prayer and let's step up our personal prayer. That is most important. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, when we become reluctant to praise and to pray is when the enemy starts to come back and the enemy is emboldened when we back off of our prayer and our praise. So let's keep on praising and praying, amen, every day. So last week we were talking about, if you remember, that we as people sometimes have the tendency to take God and bring him onto our side instead of us remembering that, hey, no, we're on your side, Lord. You know, we're always trying sometimes to bring God into our situation and onto our side, but he's sovereign, isn't he? And so I think that this whole situation with the nation being asked to go in and begin to take these cities, God wanted to see how much do they really trust me. And that's what I think God is asking us for, is that silent trust, which speaks to me of a deep trust in the Lord. Amen. There's a Psalm 46 verse 10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I believe that that's important this morning, because stillness is obviously a link between being still, being quiet, quietening yourself, and knowing that he is God. There must be a link between being still and knowing that he's God. And I think it's to let God minister to us in a deep way, because of the chaos and the noise and everything in our own lives, in our minds. You know, and God says, just be still and know that I am God. Isn't that a great lesson? And so I want to go on talking a little bit about this spiritual warfare, because this encounter with the people at Jericho had more than one dimension. It wasn't just about them walking around the city numerous times. It had more than one dimension. It had a very supernatural dimension to it. Amen. And by the time they had 13 looks at these 40 feet high walls, You know, I mean, some of them might even have remembered some, you know, oh yeah, and that's, I've seen that stone, you know, I've been round here a long time. But even though they've been round there, maybe it took 13 times for them to go around those walls to recognize that this is impossible for us. You know, 13 times so that God could impress upon them, this is, you know, I'm going to do this. Just trust me. Amen. You guys are not going to win the battle by yourselves. And sometimes we've been like that. We're like, do you know what? We never recognized that we couldn't control the situation ourselves. We didn't know we were in over our heads. And it's only God that can do certain things. Some things he asks us to do and we go ahead and we do them. An example is later on in the word, God says to Gideon, go out in this might of yours. God empowers us and he gives us power and might. But there are certain times where it's only God. And at that time, we've got to let God be God. Amen. And so I think sometimes the greatest difficulty that I've had is getting to the place where I'm prepared to admit, all right, that the whole thing is too big for me. A place of admission. I admit it. I admit it. You know, that's sometimes the hardest thing for us to do as people is to admit that we're wrong. And like, Lord, I have to admit to you, this is too big for me. It's too big for me. And this is an impossibility without your power. Amen? And so we can't do it on. We come to a place, if we remember that little phrase that says, tie a knot on the end of your rope. And when you get to the end of your rope, hang on. Anyone ever heard that phrase? Well, we've experienced that sometimes it's you get to the end of your rope and you have to let go. You just have to let go and let God then deal with it. He will catch you, you know. So it's like that. In the past, we showed a little video in the trust called video in the church called Trust Fall. Remember that, where, you know, just trust me, fall back into my arms. I can't, you know. And you, everything in your body wants to twist or turn around or, you know, but God's saying, no, I want you to trust me 100%. And then watch God doing what he needs to do. And so today, you know, there might be people in this place or watching on the live stream, you know, you're standing in front of a Jericho yourself today. You have walls staring you in the face. They're like these impregnable walls that never seem to crumble or come down, but they need to come down. You're staring at them, and maybe you've been screaming at the walls or talking to the walls or kicking the walls or doing whatever it is to shift these walls, arguing with the wall. Amen. And that wall, that Jericho might be fear. That Jericho might be worry. That Jericho might be lust. It might be sensuality or living by your senses. That Jericho might be pride, a wall of pride. That wall might be a wall of materialism or placing your trust in the things of this world. Amen? And there you stand. There we stand in front of these walls. And they're so intimidating. And we don't know how we're going to deal with them. And sometimes they're so intimidating that we actually end up cowering in front of them. We just don't know what to do. And God gives us a story like this in the Old Testament that we can go to. And we can read it and we can say, God, there is a way that we can deal with this. And I'm going to trust in you for this. Amen. And sometimes we do everything we can to that wall except for admit, I'm helpless. I need you. And then just get it. Just get quiet and be still and know that the Lord is God. Hard to be silent sometimes, isn't it? We just did that for about 15 seconds. sometimes and you feel, what's wrong? He's not speaking. There's no noise. Sometimes it's hard to just be quiet. And sometimes a little bit of quietness seems like an awful long time. Why is it that 1 minute of silence really multiplies in terms of the sense of time? Whereas our lives are busy and full of noise and time seems to accelerate and just fly away. But getting quiet, 30 seconds, why does 30 seconds of quietness feel like half an hour? And we've got to get over that. I believe it's one of the keys to victory in the times that we're coming into, is to get quiet and to be still. Amen. And so sometimes, and we complain, God, why are you not listening to me? Why haven't you heard me? And God says, well, you haven't given me a chance to speak. I can't get in there. You haven't been listening because of everything else that's going on. And I think that, there's a danger if we don't give stillness its place, that the presence of God, where is the presence of God going to go? Where is the presence of God going to go? You know, if for any reason God's Spirit left this church, how long would it be before we realized it was gone? In amongst all the things we do, arriving and everyone's got their, we're doing our thing and we're getting church ready and we're doing church together. How long would it take for the people that are coming here to help us on media and hospitality? How long would it be before they discovered that, well, this is a bit meaningless? There's, you know. How long would it take before all of us guys up here, even though every note could be note perfect, spiritually it would be completely flat? How long would it take? We need God's presence in our lives and in this place today. Otherwise, we are going through the motions, and they may seem perfect in the natural, but in the supernatural, is dead. It's completely dead. How long would those that are in this place today that help new Christians, teach them, how long would it be if the Spirit of God, if the presence of God left you before, that would just be, that would lack clarity and impact and everything? All we do would be with just words without the Spirit of life in them. You know? And I wanna segue from that and say, teachers, we need you. Scholars of the word, we need you. We need you more than ever. We need you. We need you to take your place to teach the people of, to not only teach the people of God, but to teach the new Christians that are going to come into this place. We need you. Amen. So we need his presence and his power every day. Sometimes we don't recognize that his presence is not with us. Although he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, you understand what I'm saying. There are times when God does draw back. I'm going to show you an example of this right now, and some of the saddest words in all of the Old Testament relate to Samson in Judges 16:20. A mighty man who was once filled with the Spirit of God. He's in the Faith Hall of Fame. And the word says in Judges 16:20, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. This was after he allowed himself to have his hair cut off. Eventually, Delilah got to him, and that was it. And he was able to redeem some of that situation, but that's very plain English to me. The Lord departed from him. And because sometimes one of the reasons we don't recognize that God's not there is because we're so busy kicking at things and complaining about things and saying, why are things not the way they should be? And why are things not so? And And we're just really not giving God his place. If we'd only give God time to communicate to us in that stillness, we might discover what God's battle plan actually is. And we need his battle strategy. Amen. When our voice is silent and God is at work in us, there's no question who receives the benefit of that. When we are still and God goes to work, who receives the benefit? Can only be one. It's God himself. Amen. When we work, we speak, and we move and do what we can, and the walls are not coming down, they're not even beginning to crumble, what do we say? I'm going to walk faster, or I'm going to talk louder, or we just think that increasing the intensity of whatever we're currently doing is the answer to results. No, it's not the answer. Increasing the intensity will have the opposite effect. So we need to know that we've got to do it God's way and not try to help God along. Who's guilty of that? I'm going to help you along with this, God, you know. everything's going to be okay. I'm going to help this whole thing along. The only way we can help God with anything is simple. Submit to his plan. Submit to his Holy Spirit. It's the only way that God can do his part and we can do our part is if we let God do it. Amen. Amen. And I believe that's where we're seeing the miracle working power of God, because people understand I'm going to let the people around me pray for me. I'm going to receive from them. I'm going to receive what God has for me. That's how we get through tough times. That's how we get through cancer. That's how we get through real bad illness. That's how we get through any pandemic. Amen. And so we just need to be silent and let God work. And that's always been God's pattern of spiritual warfare that brings victory. We prepare and then we execute. Preparation in stillness, in study, in prayer, in time. And everything in this planet is trying to distract you from that. But we prepare and then we execute. The second thing that's important is that when our strength is broken and God works through us, even in our brokenness, there's no question who receives the credit for that either. There's no question at all. And that's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity, is that he's the strength in our weakness. And that is such a huge testimony to the world. Amen. Who actually did fight the battle of Jericho? Who fought the battle? Whose power was on display in Jericho? Who actually made the walls come crumbling down, falling down? Was it Joshua? Was it the people of Israel? Or was it God? It was God. Amen. Absolutely, unquestionably, undeniably God. It was the hand of God. Amen. And the problem that we have sometimes is we tend to obscure God's glory because we are involved somehow. And you can't do that. You cannot take from God what is his. We can't fudge it up so that we can have a little bit of a feel-good trip. It's all God. Amen? It's all God. Sometimes we have a tendency to steal his praise. And it's his praise. It's not ours. It's his. We were created to praise, not to covet praise, not to steal praise, not to crave praise. We were created to offer praise. We were all created to give praise. Be a praise giver every day. Rather be a praise giver than a praise taker. No, for another time. It's one of those, no, not for today. Be a praise giver. Amen. Sometimes you just got to take all of our works and all of our contributions And he just like, do you know what? I'm going to wipe them away. Hallelujah. So that you understand that this power does not come from men, does not come from you, it comes from me. Amen. Joshua 6:16, the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. That last phrase, amazing. I have given you the city. Amen. Skip to Joshua 6, verse 20. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Amen. Now, I've been loving studying a little bit on this verse because I remember, I go back to my psalmody teaching with Pastor Tom Ingalls. And he lists all the different types of praise and thanksgiving and worship that we can offer to God. And he breaks it right down. And guess there's a word in there, and it's called shout. There's a word in the praise dictionary, and it's called shout. Amen? So you don't, I'm just saying, you don't have to be quiet in church. Okay? And this word shout is the Hebrew word ruah, to raise a shout. And I'm reading this, and I think, okay, it's talking here about jubilation, jubilant shouting. It's talking, it mentions a battle cry. One that stood out to me, it was a shout in triumph. If the Lord has given you something, then be triumphant over it. Shout out in triumph. But listen, this goes further, and now it's getting to an interesting place. This word ruah, okay? Actually, I think the Spartans did it the wrong way around. I think they were aru. Yeah, watch the film. About ruah. And I was looking at this, and at the root of that word, it means to mar, M-A-R, to mar something, to break it. To break it. The figurative definition of the word ruar is to split the ears with sound. Wow. So your shout is not just a shout that contains 90 decibels. And, you know, when you shout in the supernatural, it has the power to split and to break whatever is in front of you. Isn't that amazing? So this is important to know that this... Was anyone here when Pastor Tom was teaching on quarks? That sounds are made of quarks, which are elements in nature that God created, all right? Okay, the scientists didn't come up with that. This is in creation. And a quark is a tangible, it's sound in a tangible form. That's why God knows our words have the power of life and death in them. Because when we release that into the atmosphere, that quark is an electrically charged thing. And I'm not a scientist or a physicist, but I know that there's things called the sound waves, etc., etc. Sound has immense properties and power. And here is this word ruah. Here's the nation. We've gone round 13 times. Time for the shofar blow. We shout. That shout was impregnated with the creative power of God. That shout was pregnant with the ability to break a 40-foot high wall. Isn't that amazing? And so when Jesus says, say now to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And we think that's impossible. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. And we think, oh, well, you know, it's Jesus is being literally, he's using it as an example of something else. He's just showing us. But the reality is that the evidence is there that words have the power to break down physical objects. Amen. Everyone's thinking of the opera singer that if she gets high enough she can crack a glass. But let's not, that's the sound, that's the intensity of sound. And so the Israelites, let's go on. He says in Jeremiah 32:27, he says, I am Jehovah your God. I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? No. So if he's given us this ability to speak in faith, not doubting, then is anything actually too difficult? No. No. Even your schoolwork, just confess it. Just confess it. I have the mind of Christ. You designed me to absorb knowledge. But we get my mind was polluted with, well, I had the very first Nintendo Donkey Kong game, right? It was a little flippy box thing, and you know, and you could play a numbers game on your calculator. You know, mobile phones were futuristic, you know, and I had the power to absorb so much more, but I chose to invest my time in things that gave me pleasure instead of that were setting me up better for my future. Just fessing up. That's the way it was, you know. And I had to come to a place of maturity and eventually realize that, God, you created me to be much more than who I actually am. You created me to be much more. And for you young people sitting in this place today, we were saying this today when we were just speaking. God is raising up a young generation to lead this country into the things of the Lord. I'm not saying that some of us will be like the Moseses and stuff, but we're going to rejoice in the things that the young people are going to do. Let's be ready for that. Let's give honor and praise where it's due. Hallelujah. If we keep on trying to covet it or hold on to it, we'll stunt the growth of God's kingdom. We have to let it go. Be still and know that I am God. Let me be God. Amen. So God here, he first of all does a work for 7 days. He's doing a work in these people in silence. And then he does a work through them with a shout. 7 days of silence. What are you doing? And then, right, release it. And the work comes through the shout. And sometimes when we look at our walls, we think they're not coming down. Well, maybe he still wants to do a work in you in silence that's not complete yet. But maybe he wants to do a work through you with a shout, but you're not releasing the shout. So do you understand? Do we know what God is asking us to do? Some of us in this place this morning are ready for the shout, the release. Ruah! And some of us still have a silent work to do. God is preparing us. And when you hear that, if we all shouted together this morning, Ruah! At the top of our lungs, goosebumps would run up your spine because it's the power of a release of the power of God in this place. And that is where we need to be. That is where we need to go. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we think sometimes, how are we going to get God's attention so we can deal with these walls? Well, the way we get God's attention is to be obedient, the same way as they were. Here's the plan. Here's the battle strategy. It's all coming back to obedience, and it's all coming back to sacrifice. Wow, we shouldn't be surprised. It's all coming back to that. It's coming back to aspects of praise and putting God in his rightful place in our lives and in the life of our nation. It's all coming back to that. Why should we be surprised at that? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Do you know what that means, my face? It means if they seek the very person of God, if they seek the personality and the presence of God, if my people who are called will humble them and seek my face, if you will seek my person, I want my presence to be with you. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. If he inhabits the praises of his people, do you believe it? Then our praise, which is faith-based, amen, is our faith based on praise? It is, amen. Then that has much to do with the closeness and presence of God in our life situations, praise, amen. It's also key in any manifestation of God's power that we might or may experience or have experienced that was all. Faith-based praise is always there. Amen. I want to read this into you in Psalms 22:3. It says here, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one that Israel praises. New Living Translation says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Amen. You know, reading through the Psalms and through God's word, from what I've studied, I cannot find a life of faith in God's word that's not connected to a life of praise. I can't, when I see people who had great lives of faith, always connected to a life of praise. Amen? And praise in whatever form that we offer it, okay, and there's many of them, that's the evidence of God's presence with you and his life with you. When we offer our, when we make a sacrifice of our praise in faith, because it takes faith, amen? And so just knowing Jesus, that helps us some of the way. We walked through the door of salvation, didn't we? So we know we got to know Jesus. We walk through the door of salvation. We know where God lives. We're in his kingdom. But we begin to learn and experience more about God, his person, his personality. Amen? And as we do that, our faith begins to grow. And our knowledge about him begins to grow. You know, like the songs we sing on a Sunday morning, it tells us how he feels about us. Amen? And so, if faith comes by hearing, then every time we praise God, every time we read his word, our faith is growing, isn't it? Amen. Now, this is a real life situation. You can be in the kingdom of God, but never experience his manifest power. You can be in his kingdom, but never experience that or rarely experience the presence of God. Because you may have a reluctance to praise him with your whole heart and holding nothing back. And there's certain dynamics of faith and praise between us and between God. And in my notes, I've got a little scribble here. Anyone who wants my notes from this morning can get them because they're all got little scribbles on. But there's a response between man and God. And the degree of our faith involved produces a result. And so when we've got some faith, there's more of a movement towards us, towards God. Okay? And that's like giving thanks, where we begin, all right? We begin to give thanks. Then we get a little bit more faith, and we begin to praise him. And we begin to see, you know, yeah, I'm beginning to experience you, Lord, as a reality in my life, and we begin to praise him. And then we start to go into this praise dictionary with all of these different things. Who's heard of halal praise? And shabach and Tauda, and eventually we get to what they call Tehillah praise. And Tehillah praise is a place where your faith is great faith, and God has begun to move towards you as well as you begin to move towards God, is this Tehillah praise. And this praise that God inhabits that we read about in Psalm 22, the praise, the definition of that word praise is Tehillah. And Tehillah praise is the praise that God himself inhabits. Okay? So when we get to that place, and of course then we go from, if we move from Tehillah praise into worship, well then you don't need any faith. Why? Because the true worship, there's nothing, you're experiencing God in such a deep way, you do not no longer require faith to know that he's there. When you're in heaven one day, you don't need your faith anymore. Why? Because he's there. Everything is now right there. So we need our faith on this earth for this journey. But when you get, but you will experience, even on this earth, when you go through that motion towards God and you eventually get into Tehillah, that faith is not an obstacle because God's presence is with you in such a powerful way. You're not struggling with faith issues anymore. He's here. Amen. And so never let your praise die. Always keep it going. Don't be a soundless Christian. You've heard this one before. Soundless Christians are signless Christians. Amen. I'm nearly done. Tehillah praise will take us to another realm. And that's where we sit under the glory of God. And if you go to Psalm 22:3, and we probably won't have this, Seb's an absolute expert on that, but I know you won't get this one. In the Aramaic Bible, it says, "You are holy and Israel sits in your glory." That is a place of Tehillah where you just have to come in and sit and the glory of God is all around you. The glory, and that can be your bedroom, your kitchen, your front room. This morning, if you're sitting in your living room, as you offer praise to him, I pray that you will move to Tehillah praise and your room will be flooded with the presence of God. And whatever you're struggling with, you will be delivered from right now in the name of Jesus. And this church said, amen. 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 Because I know there are people sitting in their rooms watching this morning. Amen. If God's praise, God's presence can be manifest on this earth when we worship together, it can be manifest in your living room right now. Amen. It can be manifest in your front room or your bedroom, wherever you are, it can be manifest. Amen. So move towards that level of praise, that Tehillah praise. Don't draw back. What happens to God's response when we draw back? I'll show you in Hebrews 10:38. It says, "The just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." The just shall live by faith. Do not draw back. Keep on going forward. Amen? Keep on going forward. And to finish off today, I believe that the Holy Spirit's saying to us today, praise your way through this epidemic. Praise your way through this pandemic. Praise the Lord through this trouble. It's not going to last. Put praise first. Go to Judges 1, the last scripture. It says, "After the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who's going to be the first to go up against the Canaanites to fight against them?' And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go. Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand.' So Judah said to Simon, his brother, 'Come up to me, allotted territory that we may fight.' And so they went up there. Judah went first." What does Judah mean? Judah means praise. Judah means praise. It was the tribe of praise to whom God granted the victory. And we are a tribe of praise in this place this morning. Amen. We're tribal. We're a tribe of praisers. And when praise goes first, think about Jericho, what God's strategy was. God follows up with the victory. Amen. Judges 1:19, just a wee bit later on, it says, "So the Lord was with the men of Judah." You can read that. "So the Lord was with the men of praise." Hallelujah. Praise always goes forward. Praise continually conquers. But when praise retreats, like I said earlier on, the enemy becomes bolder. So he's trying to silence us, and we've got to be. We've got to praise. We've got to keep praising. Amen. There's a bit more teaching in that. If you actually look in context, then they didn't completely follow through with God's instructions. And they began to mix with the cultures that they were taking conquest of. And that brought the entrance of some things in that God was not happy with. And things began to be a problem again. But let's keep our eyes on the Lord and keep praising him. Amen. Amen. Songs of deliverance will not always be soft or quiet. Sometimes songs of deliverance need to have a shout. And a shout of triumph. And when we shout in triumph, that'll bring victory into your life. So try it. And if you're embarrassed to try it when you're with others, start practicing yourself in your car. A car's a great place. It's like kind of soundproofed. You can drive down the road and you can go, "Rooah!" or whatever. You can. And so don't hold back, church. Don't hold back. You can be in church and you can release a shout of praise. Amen. You know when it's a shout of praise that's required. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will you'll know. Otherwise, we could just shout all day long and go hoarse for nothing. There's a time for that shout. And for them, it was on the seventh day after the 13th time around. When is your shout going to be? Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.